If you have your Bibles with you or have a Bible app on your phone, please join with me by turning to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse 15 once you get there, but I'll give you a couple seconds to turn there. Ephesians chapter 1. This is the Apostle Paul writing to this church community in Ephesus. And he writes this, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe." To me, this is one of those passages that when you're reading the Bible in a year or doing your devotions, you kind of just read it and you're like, okay. But I want you to get really what Paul is praying for this church that he loves, this church that he has helped establish, that he knows, that as he's writing this, he's seeing faces, he's knowing stories. Don't miss what Paul is praying for this church community. In verse 17, he kind of spells it out. "I keep asking that," and he defines all these beautiful titles for who God is. "I keep asking that you might know him better. I keep asking that you might know God better." Of all the things that Paul could have been praying for, to start off this letter, praying for these people that he loves, of all the things he could have been praying for this Ephesian church, why is to know God better really this core center of his prayers? Surely there were other things. Surely there were circumstantial things that Paul could have been praying for. Surely there were people in Ephesus who were sick and who were dying. Why not pray for them? I'm sure there were different financial struggles and financial needs. We can lift those up. This is a first century church community that probably faced very real violence and persecution. But he doesn't pray about that. Instead of any of these outside circumstantial prayer needs, these outside struggles that we face all the time, Paul begins his letter not with those, but with praying that you might know him better. Paul prayed this because he believed this was the most important thing that God could possibly give them, to know him more, for God to draw them closer to himself. For Paul, the Holy Spirit working through Paul in these writings, the inspired word of God, knowing God was more critical than asking God to change outside circumstances. Knowing God was more critical than asking God to change the outside circumstances, which of course they were there. Knowing God, drawing close to God, was and is primary. Because knowing God, Paul goes on, to know God is to have our hearts enlightened. Verse 18, he says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened." I'm not really a poetic person. You know, I tried to take like AP English in 10th grade and I totally flopped because it's a lot of poetry. I'm like, I don't get what any of this means. So this is kind of a poetic-y type of statement for me. What does it mean to have the eyes of your heart enlightened? Let's dig into this a little bit. In Scripture, the heart is often referenced as really the core of one's self. The heart is the core of one's self. The heart is where our love, the things we are passionate about and for. The heart is where our hope and our purpose originate. It all flows from our heart. Our heart really defines us. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, He's talking about money and possessions, and he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. So Jesus is saying, if your treasures are on these temporary, breakable, earthly things like money and stuff, then who you are is going to be about money and stuff. Your love, your passion, your hope, your purpose is going to be in these temporary things that are going to fade away, rust, get stolen, deplete eventually. And so here, in Ephesians 1, and Paul is writing about the heart. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened. I believe that Paul is praying for such a deep and rich and profound and transformative knowledge of God that it goes beyond theological knowledge. It goes beyond the rational cognitive truths that we know about God. That he is praying for an understanding and a closeness of God that shapes who we are, that enlightens our hearts, our core, who we are as people. That a knowledge of God that goes beyond understanding the truths of God as if they were some Jeopardy questions. Okay, well, we can name all of these facts about where Jesus lived and when he was born and what the Bible says about that and how many books of the Bible there are and all these facts that certainly knowing the biblical trivia and facts about the Bible is important on some level, but Paul is praying for a deeper truths, but goes deeper into an experiential knowledge of who God is. Maybe even an emotional knowledge of who God is. Deeper than just facts. This is going deeper than just reciting things in church. Not just saying, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and buried, descended to the dead, and the third day he rose again. Beyond saying these things that we know and we recite, and we believe them as true, but knowing them more deeply than just saying them in church because we said them 100 times. Knowing them in such a way that it enlightens our heart, our core, who we are. That when we say this beautiful truth of who Jesus is, do you believe in Jesus Christ the Son? Yes, I believe these things. It's believing this enlightened heart kind of knowledge of God, understanding the truth of the gospel and Jesus' love for us in a way that shapes and enlightens how we love and what we love, that shapes and defines what we're passionate about. That the gospel of Jesus Christ gives us our purpose. That Jesus defines our hope. It's deeper than just biblical trivia. It's deeper than just Jeopardy questions and answers. And this depth of knowledge, this heart-enlightening depth of knowledge that Paul is praying for this church, and that Scripture is there for us, this depth of knowledge of God is impossible without prayer. This depth of the knowledge of God is impossible without prayer. And so we're entering into this season of Lent. Lent began last Wednesday on Ash Wednesday, and we're spending these days prior to Good Friday and Easter focusing on prayer with the series called With God. Okay, hopefully you saw it in the front of your bulletin. It's called With God. And we're looking at prayer in this series really as in terms of this, in terms of a relational connection and intimacy with God, and not just keeping prayer at making requests to God, and not just keeping prayer as making requests to or at God, beyond asking God for things, even important things. But prayer is to dive into this fuller knowledge of God that shapes everything about us. One resource I'm going to be using for these messages going forward is a book that's simply titled Prayer. It's by pastor and author Tim Keller. This is what the book looks like if you want to pick it up. I told early service that you get special extra credit bonus points from church if you pick it up and read it. That means nothing, but hey, I'll get some stickers or something. But I do encourage you to read it because I am going to be using it going forward. It has a lot of really good points on going deeper with our prayer lives. And the author, Tim Keller, he writes in the second chapter, I think it's the second chapter, he writes about this passage to the Ephesian church, that Paul is praying more than anything else that they might know God better. And he says that he, Paul, does not see prayer merely as a way to get things from God, but as a way to get more of God himself. Prayer not merely as a way to get things from God, but as a way to get more of God himself. And this sentence is, in a lot of ways, my aim for this series. For us to seek God in prayer for the fullness of who God is as our Father. That certainly, we sing about God, our good, good Father. We acknowledge that. We pray to God, our Father. And in certainly a very real sense, God is our provider, our Father as a provider. Okay, that we know that every good and perfect gift comes from him, that God welcomes us to go to him and ask for specific needs. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, part of that prayer was, give us today our daily bread. Give us today these daily provisions of the things that we need. Answer our prayers when difficulties come up. God welcomes us to go to him in prayer with the things that we're anxious and worried about, as we looked at last week, with the things that we need. But in prayer, we are welcome to know God as more than provider, that God is more than that. Last week, I was catching up with a college friend, an old college friend, on FaceTime. That they live up in Canada, and so we haven't been able to see them. Normally, we try to get our families together at least once a year. And it's been hard to not see them. I love this family a lot, and so we said, hey, let's just reconnect on FaceTime. So we've been doing that. So we were talking about our kids. He has three kids. His oldest daughter is now a teenager, and she's our goddaughter, and me and Lindsay love her. We pray for her. We've known her since she was a little baby. Very special relationship with this girl. And she's now a teenager. And he said that she spends kind of just most of her time in her room and barely talking with them and really only talking to her parents if she needs something. I can see the eyes going sideways to the parents right now. This is not calling out teenagers necessarily, but he was saying, yeah, she's 13 now, that this is what she does. And he wasn't ragging on her, he wasn't saying, you know, how much he thinks she's terrible, but he's just like, I miss talking with her. I miss that. And he expressed very real sadness over that. And as I listened to him, I was thinking about my kids and my situation. My kids are younger, they're 8 and 10. They're not at that not teenagers yet. And I was thinking about when we eat dinner, and Leah will share about the best part of her day. And then one by one, she'll look us all in the eyes, okay, Peter, what is the best part of your day? And she'll listen intently. Hey, Daddy, what's the best part of your day? And she'll go to everyone. She just can't wait to share about her life and learn about us. I love taking Peter to soccer practice when we're just alone in the car, and he has all kinds of questions. Most of his questions are about sports, but he also has questions about life and about scripture, about things that we're learning in church. And I just, it's a highlight of my week to talk with him in those times. You know, being with my kids and talking with my kids is one of my favorite parts about being a dad. And so I was thinking that yes, God welcomes us, certainly God welcomes us to go to him with our needs. But just like how we are with our kids and our grandkids, I think God also just wants us to be with him. And I think also a huge step in our progression of faith, that frankly a lot of people don't go beyond this step. A big step in our progression of faith is getting to a place where we pray not just out of desperation, not just when things get really, really, really bad, Not just praying out of frustration because our outside circumstances are kind of a mess and life is just crazy and coronavirus and all this stuff. We got to wear masks and I hate everything, blah, blah, blah. Not just out of frustration. And not just praying out of obligation. Not just praying because I've learned that's what Christians do and I want to be a good Christian, so I guess I'll feel like I have to pray now, God, blah, 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 blah. So not just out of desperation, frustration, or obligation, going deeper in prayer, being with God because we just want to meet with him. That is a step that I think a lot of Christians do not take, that I want to take as a church, that God welcomes us to meet with him in prayer. And so for this series, my hope and prayer for all of us, including myself, is to start to understand prayer also in terms of being this relational connection, this relational closeness and intimacy with God that he welcomes us to, that we really know what it means that God is our Father, what it looks like to walk this path to know God better in and through prayer. I want my prayers to look like King David's in Psalm 27. Psalm 27:4, he writes this. There's one thing I ask from the Lord. This only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. David says, if I'm going to ask God one thing, I just want to be with him. And it's not about all the outside circumstances that I face. It's certainly there are psalms that he's like, God, where are you? Certainly there are psalms that are, God, there's people literally trying to kill me. I need your help. Where are you? I don't know where you are. Yet here, he boils it down. If I could only ask for one thing, it's just to be with you. May God bless us in this season, in this time, in these few weeks, as we seek to know him better through prayer. Before the worship team closes us out this morning, I just want to take a moment. Nothing else is going on. If you have other stuff going on, it can wait. To give God just a moment to meet with him and welcome him in prayer and not ask him for anything specific, just be with him. Maybe you haven't had that in a long, long time. Maybe you've never had that in prayer ever. I want to welcome us just to take a moment before our worship team comes back up to sit silently with God and breathe and welcome him to speak to you and say, God, I want to know you more. I want some of this deeper knowledge that shapes me. Let's go to our Father silently in prayer together before we close out.